Hello and welcome back to Card Knock Life. I'm Corey and here's Daryl.
What up?
We've got a very special episode for you today. We've got a guest joining us very shortly from Mana Traders. Jason's going to be talking to us about the rental service that they have. It's a subscription-based service. It allows you to rent cards from their website for Standard, Modern, or Pauper, or all the way up to their highest paid account. You can rent for Vintage, Legacy, just about any format you want, Moto cards. And this is awesome. I'm very, very excited about this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, playing Standard and just being able to, like, play whatever decks you want?
This is dope. Like, I went to the website, I read it, and I'm super excited about this whole concept.
Yeah, so Daryl, tell us a little bit about what this site has to offer.
So this site is essentially a rental service that will rent you X tickets worth of cards for X hours based on the amount you've paid and your caps. They have four tiers for card rentals. They have base, premium, gold, and ultimate. They each check in at a different price point, and they all have different features. So base is $9.95 a month, premium is $34.95 a month, gold is $59.99 a month, and ultimate is $99.95 a month. So you're saying that's a lot of money for some of those. But you get a limit of tickets that you can rent. At the upper end for the tiers, I'll go in order, is 100, 350, 750, and 1250. So you're getting a larger allotment the more you pay, just because you're paying for more. So it protects their investment of the cards they're loaning to you. And then they have something called mana hours. So basically those are every hour you rent a card, every dollar it's worth, it charges you an hour. So if I'm looking at just the premium subscription, that's going to let you play pretty much any standard deck out there. At the top of the cap, which is 350 tickets, and you get 25,000 hours. So every hour you rent the deck is 350 tickets. You're going to be renting this. You're going to be able to rent the deck if you rent a 350 ticket deck for 71 hours. So, I mean, if you're looking at 2 hours a league, you're able to play 35 standard leagues with that rental service.
Yeah, that's a large majority of the amount of time that you can be awake and on the computer.
Yeah, most people aren't going to play that many standard leagues in a month. That's if you're renting a mega expensive deck. Like, you just say, I want to play Black Ink Green Constrictor because it has Liliana and I think that card's sweet. And that's $310, and you can still rent that for every single standard league you would play in a month. As long as you return the cards right after you're done with them, you won't lose out on any of your mana hours, and you'll be good to go.
So let's talk just conceptually for a second. Like, so the big deal with Magic Online is it's damn expensive, right? You're paying a lot for, like, actually nothing. Like, it's virtual cards, digital objects, right? So particularly with Standard, there's so many decks out there, the format changes so fast, and the value of the cards changes so fast as a result of it. So yeah. When cards rotate out of Standard, they go from being, like, I don't know, 15 tickets to sometimes less than a dollar, less than a single ticket, because they're no longer played in other formats. So you can invest 300 tickets in a deck and lose all of that value and have to rebuild for the next Standard season. So what Mana Traders provides for you is basically an opportunity to go and rent these cards so that you are not committed to purchasing the entire deck. You can just give them back with no horse in the race as far as the values of those cards go, aside from, you know, whatever they cost to rent them in the first place. So if you want to, say, play Mardu Vehicles for 3 days, and then you decide that deck's not for you, you play it, and then you pitch it, and then you grab something else. You grab Hazoret Red. And that's the great part about it, is because right now, the way that Magic Online is set up is you really don't have that opportunity to do that. You can't play through three or four decks and decide which one you like. You have to commit to one, you have to buy that one, and you have to like it, because if you don't, you're damn well stuck with it, because you just invested in it.
And you're going to take a hit selling it back.
You're going to take a big hit selling it back, yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's unfortunate.
These tiers kind of give you the allotment for each one of the formats, almost. Like, I when I look at the numbers on the tickets of the limits, I can tell you what I would see using each one of these for. So, for the base, your max is 100 tickets. That's like, I'm a drafter. I like to play Standard occasionally, but sometimes you don't draft four Guineans and you don't want to buy them. Well, okay, sign up for the base, rent a couple Gideons, jam them in your Mardu Vehicles deck, go off to the races, you know? The premium, that's a 350 limit. That's, you know, I don't have standard cards, but I love standard. It's a cool format. I'm a paper player, and I want to get into it. You know, at this point, you sign up for your Magic Online account. You pay your $10. You pay the $35 here for the service. You can rank any standard deck in standard, and then you just buy a bundle of tickets, and you just go off to the races and start playing standard leagues. You can practice for your GPs that way. You know, instead of having to try and cram in a room with five of your friends and write with Sharpies all over the back of Magic cards, you can just rent decks and play against actual people in competitive leagues trying to get used to the format.
I'd say that's probably got to be the most common one as far as being able to play just about any standard deck you want. Or if you're a player that's been playing for a while, you can pretty much finish off any modern deck, you know, whatever you need for any modern deck you want to play.
Absolutely. As I say, the next tier is where I'd say you're renting a whole modern deck. Looking at the top 10 or top 12 modern decks, 750 tickets is a lot of tickets. And you can even rent like 4 Liliana, 4 Tarmogoyf, Abzan for 750 tickets and still come in under the block of, you know, not running out of hours. And even if you rent that 750 ticket deck, you get 60,000 man hours. So that's probably going to be longer than, so that's 80 math. Hours. Yeah, sorry. Pause for math. That's 80 full hours. You know, if each of your leagues is 2 hours, that's 40 leagues. There's no way you're playing 40 leagues with Abzan in a month.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of tickets from your end if you're not doing well. And if you are doing well, then you run hot. You just keep jamming. And sure, you might play that many. But, you know, that's a lot of leagues and you're going to be able to play it. And then the ultimate range is like, I want to play Legacy or Vintage. I want to feel the power of like Black Lotus, Mox, Jace, go. You know, like I don't have these cards, but I want to do it, you know? And that's fine. You know, so it's out there. As far as options of Vintage and Legacy cards, they just kind of rolled out. I took a look at their website and just on May 1st, they rolled out, their new plan for Legacy and Vintage. If you were in this website before us, you know, before we got to it, you could have got grandfathered in if you were there before May 1st. But otherwise, every 3 months you rent Legacy, you want to rent Legacy Vintage Commander cards, like, you know, if you want to rent a Mystic Confluence or something for your Baral deck or a Mox Diamond, every 3 months you rent, they charge you an extra $30.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this is you're talking about the upper limit. It looks like what happens is you sign up for an account and you initially get a limit of the tickets that you can rent. And then there's an increase per month. As long as you continue to be a customer for each plan, you get a different amount that you increase your limit per month. For the base plan, you get 10 more tickets a month. For the next plan up, you get 35 more tickets a month, 60 tickets, and 100 tickets more a month and going up.
It's in the range of 8-10%. And that's basically like any place you're building good credit. You know, you build good credit, you get a credit increase.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool system. I'm, like I said, very excited about this. From a perspective of a player that constantly bitches about the costs of Magic Online, I think this is something that has been a long time coming. I'm honestly surprised that we haven't had this sooner. And honestly, I'm surprised that Wizards doesn't do it themselves, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I was stunned.
Why don't they have a subscription service?
I know that we thought about it. Like, why didn't Wizards do it? I know that when we first reviewed Spare Deck, we were like, why isn't this a thing? And now that it's here, we're like, why didn't we think of this? Why didn't we just do this ourselves? So, but I'm really excited to actually use this service. We are not shills. We are not paid. But I'm actually genuinely excited to, like, be able to try different Legacy decks because I don't want to buy Show and Tells or Gristle Brands or Lion's Eye Diamonds. I can fill in the gaps and pay the extra $20 or $30 every 3 months to, like, fill in the gaps with the cards I'm missing. So,
yeah. Right on. So I think it's time that we stop speaking on behalf of Mana Traders and let Jason, the man behind Mana Traders, speak on behalf of Mana Traders. So we're going to hop to the interview, and then we're going to hop back and talk a little bit about the typical stuff that we ramble on for our cast. So stay tuned if you want to hear us do that. Otherwise, you're welcome to just shut us off and be done with us after that. Just kidding. Don't do that. We are here with Jason from Mana Traders. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for being here with us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
I'd like to kind of get to know you first and then kind of delve into what Mana Traders is all about. First off, you're the man behind this website. Do you get to play at all, or is this your life now?
Well, I do play. I play a lot of limited because it's just like a brand new game every time. I play probably, I don't know, maybe 2 leagues a week or something like that. Not a whole lot. I actually took the whole month of January and February off because that was when we launched Mana Traders initially. So I definitely love the game. I definitely am a player. I actually played in 3 GPs in the last 2 months. Didn't fare well, but I played in them. So I like to get out and play the game. It's definitely a great game.
Right on. So we're not too far behind the curve if you've only launched in January, February.
Yeah, February 15th was our launch date. We did a soft launch like February 1st, but we went public on February 15th as scheduled too, which was amazing.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, yeah, that never happens.
Yeah, it never happens. Never happens.
I got this question I like to ask people that we have on the cast, and that is, what is, in your opinion, the absolute worst Magic card ever printed in the history of Magic the Gathering?
Well, anything in, like, Homelands, probably. No, seriously, though, I don't really have, like, I don't know what the worst printed card is. I know cards that I dislike. I can't stand Thoughtseize and Inquisition because, like, those cards are so annoying to play against. But if I had to say the worst card ever printed, I mean, I don't even know. I wouldn't know where to start. My favorite card of all time, and I can never say it right, is a Galthian Enchantress. That's definitely one of my favorite cards by far.
Oh, right on. Yeah, that's fair. You can take that however you want. I mean, the worst card I would say could be the absolutely least playable card, which you might argue would be like something along the lines of like Grounded, which I would say one in a green target creature loses flying. It's pretty god awful.
I mean, that's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad. But, I mean, there's definitely worse cards out there. Right?
There definitely are worse cards out there. But when I'm saying worst card and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what is the worst? Like, yeah, Thoughtseize. I freaking hate Thoughtseize and getting Thoughtseize. Yeah. That's fair too. So
yeah, super
awesome. So yeah, it's good to get to know the man behind Mana Traders. There, you're typically a Modo player then at this point, I guess is how I'm taking that.
Oh yeah, I played Modo since like 2007. I definitely am a Modo player. It's just so convenient. I mean, you can play a league, you know, especially since leagues are out now. You can play a league, you know, go do something, code for a little bit, whatever, and then come back, play a game, whatever. You play paper, you're there for, you know, 12 hours sometimes, and it's a really long day. It's yeah. Really hard.
It is. Like, I play the occasional, like, the challenge tournaments on the weekends, and after playing leagues of Legacy or Modern, you're just sitting there playing, like, a 9-round challenge tournament, you're just like, why did I sign up for this?
There's something to be said about actually sitting down with someone and having a conversation with someone while you play a game of Magic, though. You don't get that on Modo. In fact, it's quite the opposite interaction with them when they're trash talking you with the anonymity of the chat window. You know,
the trash talk is amazing, isn't it? You know, I will say I do agree with you guys. Like, since I've been playing in the last few GPs that I've attended, and I've talked to, like, you know, every single person that I played against, like, in depth about, like, you know, my business and, you know, who are they and how are they doing and stuff like that. It was kind of, like, really interesting and, yes, you know, gratifying, I'd say, to, like, just to get to know the players behind it. Because a couple of people did know, like, they didn't know who I was, but they knew managers, and that was, like, really, really nice to hear, you know?
Yeah. Do you guys have tokens that you give out?
No, but I will spoil something to you maybe towards the end of this
okay.
Fall. So not right now, but that could be part of the thing I'm going to spoil with you guys. So
I'd say let's talk turkey, because after Corey sent this to me, I did a pretty big dive into the site because it got me very interested. Like, I'm a player who over, you know, past 8 or 9 years has been playing Modo just like you. And I've built a very large collection just trying to piece things together. But, like, there's always, like, oh, I want to try that new deck. Or I don't really want to play Standard because I want to buy these cards. So, like, you know, something's out of my wheelhouse. I don't want to spend another $400 on cards. So we have you guys that can fill the gap. And so you have a few different subscription services. What would you say is, you know, your most common subscription services or most common signed up subscription service, and kind of what is really the details and the nitty gritty of all those plans in a short version?
Okay, sure. Basically, we have the four plans, base, premium, gold, and ultimate. I would say the most common is definitely the premium and the gold. We just released ultimate about a month ago, so it's fairly new. It is doing well, though. So those two are the definitely most most subscribed, and the reason why is because it covers, you know, the premium covers mostly standard, and the gold covers most modern decks as well. So, you know, people mostly play standard and modern. Makes sense, right? I mean, each one has, like, its little niche, right? Like, the base is good up to 100 ticks worth of value. So if you have, like, a great standard collection, you're, like, your huge drafter, and, you know, you can draft most of your cards that you need or whatnot, the base is good because it's only $10, and you can just fill, like, the voids of your deck, right? If you need that extra, like, Chandra or you know, Gideon or whatever you need, it's there to, like, just fill that void for $10 a month. It's nothing. Now, the premium's great for standard because, you know, you can get up to 350 ticks. You can rent almost every standard deck. This last 2 months, Liliana got a little bit out of hand, but so, you know, a few people had some issues renting some decks with Liliana, but other than that, you know, you pretty much can just get any standard deck, swap out as much as you like, and that's what the premium's based for. And then the other two are pretty self-explanatory. Your gold's good for modern, and the ultimate's good for legacy. Actually, it's good for anything. You can just, like, you have unlimited mana hours almost, so you never run out of time playing, and, you know, you can run up to 1250. So
I did want to speak to that, because a lot of people are going to kind of question what the mana hours and whatnot, and we'll get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But when you said, you know, the premium is the most frequently used, and you can get up to 350. With that 350, currently the most expensive deck on Modo in the top 12 decks in the standard metagame is 304 tickets. So when you're capped, you could rent the whole deck. You don't have to be a standard master. You know, you don't have to go crazy and be able to play any standard deck. And when it comes to the other tier, the gold tier, you said that, which is a big tier for you guys for modern, 750 is a lot of money worth of cards. And, you know, I'm scrolling down the top 12. You can play every one of them. And that's including the Abzan deck, where you're talking four Liliana of the Veil, four Tarmogoyf, four Bob, you know, all these $30, $40, $50, $60, $70 cards. You can snare them all into one deck and let it rip.
One thing I've noticed is that, like, we've brought a lot of people to Magic Online. You know, when I go to these GPs and everything and I talk to people, I'm like, a lot of people don't even know what Modo is. And that's, to me, is like a failure on Wizards' part. I hate to down talk Wizards, but we all have our gripes with them, I think. You know, so these guys don't even know what Modo is. Like, what's going on here, right? That's a problem. So we brought a lot of paper players into Modo, which is great for Magic Online in general. And, you know, we can give them decks they could never even, you know, afford to play at a single low price, too, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the biggest barrier to entry, is when you get onto Modo and you look at the cost of a deck and you're thinking, okay, I need to invest $300 into the game. With Mana Traders, you know, it really is pretty incredible that you can now drop, you know, $30 a month for a monthly membership or $10 a month for a base membership, and then have access to an entire deck from the get-go. And that's actually an affordable rate for that.
Yeah, but it's even better, though. Like, what's even better about it is you can get it from one bot. You don't have to go to multiple bots to get these cards, and, like, and then you have to, like, resell them back and lose depreciation. There's just so much to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I can tell you from the experience of, like, trying to build different decks with tickets, starting with no cards, and it's just, like, there are Wikipedia sites that are, you know, what is the cheapest bot? And trying to get the cheapest price on every card at the cheapest bot, you're going to 10, 12, 15, 18, 20 bots. And it's just like, all right, this is much, much more convenient. I did want to talk about sort of the limit, because that's kind of the barrier, not necessarily the barrier to entry, but it kind of is the cap on what you can really do. So you say there's a starting limit of, that it's got a range. So I'm just going to look at the gold, for example. It's 250 to 750 tickets. And it says that it's kind of, there's a star at the bottom. Starting limit is determined by PayPal after PayPal verification. What's really happening there? Is that the secret sauce that you can't really talk about, or is, you know, or are you guys, like, sending dollars back and forth between my PayPal account and myself? Like, what's really happening there?
Well, we can't get into it too much because it definitely is part of the you know, the process that protects us. You know,
sure, absolutely.
We do, like, a risk assessment. on each player that, you know, is you a PayPal verification is part of it, and that gives us some, you know, metrics that we use to determine how much of a risk a certain player is. You know, are they likely to return the cards or not return the cards, or are they going to be paying to return the cards or whatnot, you know? So we, you know, we have 22 different things that we kind of like go through and explore for each user, and that's what determines your range, your starting limit.
Now, this is really awesome. I'm actually genuinely excited about this. We have no horse in the game. We don't work for you, Jason. We're talking this up because this is really something that we've been looking for. You know, that suits our needs, but also the needs of I think our demographic as far as our listeners go, and as far as like a lot of Moto users go, and I think honestly the biggest factor with Moto is the cost, you know, and even beyond the interface, people complain about the interface all the time, but the cost is just enormous. One of the things I'm seeing with this is the availability of cards. Now, like if this grows to a point where we have, you know, we double the amount of users in the next 3 months, you know, that'd be awesome for you, right? What are you guys going to do to make sure that there's still enough cards to go around for all those users?
I know on the website, when you talk about your inventory, you said that you have a playset for every 2 subscribers.
Yeah.
And that's an impressive boast, and I'm sure it's true. It's just, you know, I think Corey's question is, if you guys blew to all the subscribers, are you just going to own all of the cards on Moto?
I mean, I thought about that the other day. I was like, do we get to a point where we just have everything? And then how scary is that? Like, it's like a scary thought, right? We'll never get to the point where we have everything. You know, there are some competitive bot chains out there that do a good job. And, I mean, I don't know how big we'll get. I won't tell you how big we are or how many subscribers we have, but I will tell you this. And this will give you, you can wander and your mind can think or whatnot. But basically in 2 weeks, we increased 300 subscribers last month in a 2 week period. So, and we handled it 100% perfectly. No out of stocks. So if that gives you, if you have any idea, like, you know, you think about that, then, you know, you can come to your own conclusion.
Yeah, that's encouraging. Yeah. That's encouraging. Now, I don't want to draw conclusion or comparisons to things like Puka Trade, and obviously you're quite different than Puka Trade, but I want to use that as kind of an example of something like, you know, something that was going really well for a long time. A lot of people got involved in it, but there was no like sustainability like in place for that, and as a result, it was like the economy just kind of like collapsed underneath them. And while all these new players were coming into this system, it was like there was no long-term plan for it. And so I think that from a new player perspective, getting involved in something like this, I think that would be the one concern that players would have, is just to make sure that there's enough stock once they become, you know, subscribing users to Moto Traders.
Think about this though. You subscribe with us, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have the availability for you. What are you going to do? You're going to unsubscribe and you're going to ask for a refund.
Right.
So there's no risk on you. You know, there shouldn't be a concern of the users, because that's our responsibility to fulfill what they're renting or what they're subscribing to. So if we can't fulfill that need, then, you know, what are we doing here, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't think that I hope that people shouldn't be concerned with that. I hope they don't worry about that, because I can assure everybody stock is not an issue. The only way stock will be an issue is if there are no more cards on Moto for us to get. And if we have, that's the only way. And we'll start cracking packs if we have to.
Cool.
Yeah. But, when I look at this service, the more I read into it, I'm going to draw a comparison. It reminds me of a service that I know, Corey, you'll remember this. Way back in one of our first episodes we reviewed, which was Spare Deck, which is basically deck rental for paper cards. And I tried it for a couple of SCG tour events for the Invitationals, because I don't play Standard. I'm a Legacy player. I'm a Modern player. I don't play Standard, so I rented a Standard deck. And the experience was flawless. And I think for the past, like, year that we've been doing this podcast, I've been wondering, why has no one figured out how to do this with Moto yet? And so, like, I think this is a really awesome niche that's being filled, and I'm excited to use the service and, like, report back on it and see what it looks like from being a part of it.
That's you know, it's funny you say that about a niche being filled. That I first started, the first business I started for Magic Online was mtgotickets.com. I don't know if you guys ever used it or not, but basically the void or that I saw was is people were getting scammed left and right with buying and selling tickets. So I said, what can I do to fix this? So that's what I started, mtgotickets.com, and man, what a success that's been. So then I said to myself, what else? What other issues there on Magic Online, right? I was like, man, decks are so expensive. What can I do to fix this? So really what I've been trying to do with Mana Traders and both the business that I started on Modo is just really help out the player, you know? It's really like, what can we do for the community to help them out to get to play Magic so we can all have a lot more fun playing the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
This is amazing. Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts for? And this is like such uncharted territory. I'm sure hard to answer. But as far as Magic Digital Next goes, there are so many rumblings of what that's going to look like and what that's going to do. I mean, are you bracing for any of that? Any of those changes, or is that even a thought at this point?
Well, first of all, we don't really know what Magic Digital Next is.
Yeah.
What I foresee it being is like a Battle.net or Steam product that just kind of like brings all the Magic like products together in one spot. I don't think it's actually like – it doesn't seem like it's a game. I think they're going to house their MMO in it. They're going to house Magic Online on it. They're going to house everything else inside this Digital Next like – interface or something. I don't even know. Like, we don't even really know, right?
Yeah.
So, am I concerned about it? You know, I'm not really concerned about it because honestly, you know, Magic Online has a huge economy that it, you know, it needs third party people like us, right?
Yeah.
And if you start taking those out of the game, you no longer have a game.
Yeah. And I mean, in their updates, they said that they have no plans on changing Modo or the economy or anything like that. So it's not like the need of, you know, places like Mana Traders are going to disappear. It's not like we're not going to need this service if they maintain the game as is. So I don't see the niche going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I hope they don't do this. I hope they don't actually come out with the rental service.
that's my question. I think is more are the updates are there any updates that you could see that maybe would threaten maybe what you're doing as far as that would just so make such changes to the economy that they already have in place and make such changes to the you know,
let's look at the history, right? Let's look at the history of Magic Online. I mean, they every 2 years they do something that's disastrous to Magic Online. And it's going to repeat itself over and over. It's like a roller coaster. Like, it's a never-ending roller coaster. You're holding on and you're like, please just stop. But it's just never going to happen. Okay, so, you know, there's ups and downs, but right now we're on up, and while we're up, we just, you know, make the best of it. So
that's right.
That's it. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. YOLO.
Yep.
Yeah. And hold on tight, man. Hold on tight. It is scary though.
Yeah.
I got a quick one here from perusing the website. You guys are doing huge ticket giveaways every month. Or every 3 months, you're giving away tickets for people who get the most trophies. In drawings, you're giving them entries and giving away tickets. One of your top prizes is to say you're giving away 50 tickets and you're making them a part of, inviting them to be a part of Team Mana Traders.
Yeah,
what is that? I was interested. I kind of wanted to know what is that.
Yeah, we don't publicize too much about that because we like it's something that we haven't really talked about too much. Like it's kind of like, what is it, right? You know.
Yeah.
But basically, you know how they have, like, this year they did the Team Pro Tour stuff?
Yeah.
Right? Well, we want to, like, get a team together that goes out to, like, GPs that are just, like, super great players. Obviously, you know, if you're getting 100 trophies on Magic Online, you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so we want to try to get a group together that just are amazing players, can promote our brand, can help out the community by doing like lessons and just, you know, being out there like a face of great players and Mana Traders. So that's kind of not quite there yet, but it's something we're working on. So
yeah, I just saw it on the website and I was kind of curious. I was like, what does this mean? It sounds like you guys are aiming for something, something like a Team Metagame Gurus. Kind of, they broke the ground there. Continuing to follow in those footsteps.
We got a big brew going, man. We like, all right, our whole idea is even though we don't have a lot of content on our site or any of that stuff, our whole idea, our whole, you know, thing is community and bringing Magic to paper players, online players, all together. We have things in the future we're going to do to make paper trading easier for players, and we're going to do things that Magic or Wizards should have done already. So that's kind of what our goal is, and that's what's going to bring people to us to like buy and sell and to use our rental service and stuff like that, because they're going to appreciate what we're doing for them, I hope. That's our goal.
Sounds super exciting, to be honest.
Well, we won't keep you too long. Is there anything else that you want us to know about Mana Traders that we haven't already asked?
Yes, I will shoot a spoiler out to you. Okay?
All right,
because we're close. We're 2 months out. We're a month and 15 days out. So earlier we talked about the tokens, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about Spare Deck. Well, on October 1st, we will be starting our paper rental program. It will have a crossover with Magic Online, so you can test your decks on Magic Online and then rent your paper deck. We will be at every GP and SEG, so you can pick your deck up right there. And we will have tokens that you can rent, unlike Spare Deck, and we will have accessories, so you have the full experience with us, and we'll be at a cheaper price point than them. So that is a huge spoiler, not heard before anywhere. I let you guys have the spoiler right here, and I'm sure Spare Deck's going to be knocking on our door tomorrow or the next day, whenever it gets released. But we're moving into paper October 1st with rentals, and by the end of 2018, we will be a full blown site like Star City Games, Channel Fireball, and those guys.
Wow.
So that's we're moving fast, and it's going to be fantastic.
That's super impressive. That's awesome.
And another thing is about the paper rental service. We will be doing all formats, and we'll be doing overseas to certain countries.
Oh.
So that's going to be really good for for European players as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first thing I heard when you said all formats was, now I can actually go to Eternal Weekend. Because, like, I've had, like, 10 proxy vintage sitting around in my apartment for a while and have local tournaments and go play, but like could never afford or know people that I could get power off of. So it's just like, well, there's no real point in playing. I'm going to play on Moto because I have power, but like that, like that's a rental service ability that you guys would be offering, which is very far above what you would even see in most arenas. So
I will say one thing though. I want to thank everybody for all the great positive feedback that we've gotten about our rental service so far. It's like 99% positive. There's a couple people out there that troll us, but hey, that's part of life and we understand. But I want to appreciate that so much, man. It's unbelievable.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming on the cast today. Thank you for your time.
Oh, perfect, guys. We appreciate it, and hopefully everybody enjoys the rental service, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Take it easy.
Awesome. So if you are interested in trying Mana Traders yourself, we do have a promo code to offer you that will get you 7% off for the first 5 months of your membership. So if you go to manatraders.com and you sign up for a subscription, you can use the promo code CARDKNOCKLIFE, all one word, and you will get 7% off any one of the four subscription types that they have to offer. Again, that's CARDKNOCKLIFE, all one word. Cool. So let's jump to something completely different. There are two things I want to cover before we wrap up this cast here today. And the first thing is the San Diego Comic-Con promos are available now in the Hasbro store. In fact, they're still available now after nearly 24 hours of them being available in the Hasbro store, which I think has set a record for the availability on these damn things, which typically sell out after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And why? Well, they are nearly double the price of the previous year's promo set. So, again, these are the, like, hieroglyphic sort of wall carving style planeswalkers that come with the, like, I don't know what material it is, but there's, like, this Nico Bolas print that comes with it. $165 MSRP. Comes to about $180 with shipping. You get Jason Reveler of Secrets, that's the 5-mana Jace, arguably the worst inclusion in this set, Liliana Death's Majesty, Nissa Steward of Elements, Chandra Torch of Defiance, Gideon of the Trials, and Nico Bolas, God Pharaoh. The last three are seeing quite a bit of play in Standard and Modern right now, so those are actually like pretty valuable in the set.
I was gonna say, it sounds like you get two really, really playable cards, and then like three that are kind of Nika Ball is fine, but the other, like the Nisa and the Jace, kind of not particularly excited.
Well, as far as like the people that are interested in these kinds of things go, like a lot of these are really good EDH cards, you know, or commander cards. Yeah, I should say. Like Liliana Death's Majesty is a fantastic card to put in a commander deck, as is Nisa, Steward of Elements. I don't know about Jace. That guy's just like a superfluous 5-mana Jace that exists for no particular reason. I don't know. Maybe he's like a sideboard card in Standard. but Nika Bolas for sure goes in every Grixis deck that you play in Commander, maybe. I don't know. Multiplayer Commander.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wait, are you defending Jace? Do you like this Jace?
Oh, no. I think that the Jace is garbage. I thought you said Nika Bolas went in every single Commander deck, and I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't know. There's a lot of naysaying about these. I think people were surprised by the $165 that they're asking for them. And perhaps that will affect the value of them. I know a lot of people basically will buy them out purely because they exist and purely because they oftentimes get sold out right away, and they get sold on eBay then shortly thereafter for $300 and $400. But noting that these are still on sale one day afterwards, I don't know if there's a whole lot of upside to buying them from a financial perspective. But if you're looking to play them, I don't see too much downside to it, except for the fact that you just spent almost $200 on six cards.
Yeah.
Now I'm a sucker. I bought them.
now that I say this, I'm an idiot, and I did it.
But what I caught the link nearly 10 minutes after they went on sale, which I just happened upon it. I certainly wasn't looking for it. And I was thinking, man, these are actually on sale. I have to like make a decision quick. And the decision I made was, I think I'm going to buy them because worst case scenario, I'll sell the ones I don't want. I really want to play the Gideon in the Trials. I've been playing the blue-white control deck in Modern lately, and it's really cool. I could use the Chandra for my Skred deck, and I don't really care about the rest of them. So maybe I could sell like the Jace. The Jace is worth like $20. The Liliana is like $70 to $80. Actually, yeah, and the Nika Boss is $80 to $100, so there's enough value in the other three and four cards. Nisa, I don't know if I said that, Nisa's like $40, that basically can almost pay for the value of these. Now if you're like a speculator, which I certainly am not, I'm not gonna say like buy these and try to sell them and make a profit on the poor folks who didn't happen to get their hands on them. But if you want to buy them to like have some of them and maybe like make your investment a little worthwhile or sort of defray the cost of these damn planeswalkers, then I think that's totally fine. Like someone's willing to pay for just one or two of them, just like you are. So there they are. The art for the poster is pretty cool. I don't know where I'm going to put it. I think it belongs in my bathroom in the basement.
Yeah. Sounds like a pretty reasonable spot for it.
But that remains to be seen. Anyways, that's all I want to talk about those anymore. I'll put the link in the show notes. Perhaps it'll still exist. They'll still be available when this cast comes out. The last thing is the Commander 2017 spoilers are done. There are quite a few of them that we have not yet talked about. But most of all, the deck lists in their entirety have been released.
Yes.
Is there anything out there, Daryl, that tickles your fancy?
I mean, I would rather just buy single cards from each of these decks.
Yeah.
Like I want like the white creature that like secretly pick an opponent. Like I want that card. I'm not like jumping up and down to buy one of these cards, like one of these full decks. I might buy dragons just because like dragons is cool.
Yeah.
But like I'm not over the moon on any of these decks. What about you?
Honestly, when the spoilers were coming out, and this is always the case with these decks, I'm always very, very excited about them, thinking, oh man, I'm going to buy all four of these or all five of these whenever they're coming out. And then the full list gets spoiled, and I'm like, man, I have all these cards. I'm not going to pay $35 for like another copy of a new bordered Savage Ventmaw and Ryusei the Falling Star, you know? So,
yeah.
That said, though, they do pack a lot of value in these decks. I mean, looking at the listings of the deck lists on MTG Goldfish, the paper value, if you were to buy the singles of these decks without the new cards included, because those values aren't listed, they're about $123 130, 120, 150 bucks for each one of them. So over $100 in paper. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that does include the new cards. I think it must.
It has to.
Okay. Now, there are a couple of cards in here that are really exciting, and if you were to buy the singles right now, you would be paying a hell of a lot of money for those cards because of the scarcity of them. Obviously, they're not even out yet. But there's some that really have me excited for some brewing in Commander. Marisil, the Pretender, for example, reminds me a lot of Necrotic Ooze, except for the activated ability can only be used once clause.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Marisil is one blue, black, red for a 4/4 legendary creature human wizard. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile an artifact or creature card from your hand or graveyard and put a cage counter on it. Marisil the Pretender has all activated abilities of all cards you own in exile with cage counters on them. You may activate each of those abilities only once each turn. So the EDH deck, or the Commander deck, the 1v1 deck that involves Necrotic Ooze, is typically a Sidisi deck that plays Necrotic Ooze, Phyrexian Devourer, and Walking Ballista so that it can go infinite and deal just a ton of damage using Walking Ballista and Phyrexian Devourer, I'm sorry. Not infinite, I suppose, but basically milling the top cards of your deck and putting a bunch of +1/+1 counters on it and then shooting your opponent for a lot of damage.
Yeah.
That doesn't work with this guy because it can only be used once. But there's got to be something.
Can he use each one of the abilities once?
Yes, each one once.
Well, the first thing I thought of is we're jamming an Aetherling.
You can do that. You can do Aetherling. Now, there's another card that can get around that clause, too.
All right.
Quicksilver Elemental, I believe it is. It's a 5-mana blue card.
It's a dragon. Oh, no, it's not a dragon.
It is Quicksilver Elemental. It has a blue mana activation cost. It says, Quicksilver Elemental gains all activated abilities of target creature until end of turn.
Oh, that's confusing.
It is a little confusing, but basically how that works is it can target itself and give itself all those activated abilities. And it doesn't have a stipulation that it can only be used once a turn then.
That's confusing.
So that's another piece to the puzzle, but if you pair Quicksilver Elemental with Phyrexian Devourer and Walking Ballista, you can do it. And the same is true with a lot of other, you know, combo activated ability cards.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, the first thing I thought of that I was excited about was, like, I just want to play this card with Aetherling.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, there's one. And then there's another card in the Wizard deck that I'm particularly excited about. I think this is the most buildable commander in the set here. Kest, Dissident Mage, one blue, black, red for a 3/4 flying creature, human wizard, I should say. And it's a legend, by the way, so it could be your commander. During each of your turns, that's notable, you may cast an instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. If you cast a card this way, put it into your graveyard this turn. If the card you cast,
put it in your graveyard, exile instead.
Yes. So, people are comparing it to Snapcaster Mage. The biggest difference is you can only do it on your turn. Snapcaster Mage is almost always cast on your opponent's turn.
So, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
If you, for some reason, would put the card back into your hand after its resolution, it does not get exiled. It goes back to your hand.
Yeah, that's true, because it doesn't get put in your graveyard.
Correct. So if you were to cast something like, Capsize?
Sure, yeah.
Or Shattering Pulse? Or, you know, Corpse Dance? The various buyback cards? Then you would, in fact, get the card back. So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I think that this one will certainly see a lot of play in multiplayer commander. I don't see either one of these two guys being a 1v1 commander card, though unless there's a combo that really happens with Marisil that's more efficient than using Quicksilver Elemental plus Necrotic Ooze or plus Walking Ballista and Phyrexian Devourer, that's probably not going to happen either. There's one more card I want to talk about, another commander multiplayer commander card. This one's particularly interesting because of its interaction with some older cards. 2 white-white for an enchantment, Kindred Boon. Enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Pay 1 and a white to put a divinity counter on target creature you control of the chosen type.
Oh my god, with the divinity counters and the Myogen.
Yep. Each creature with a divinity counter on it has indestructible. So yeah, the Myogens from Kamigawa were these really big, powerful creatures that had divinity counters, made them indestructible. You could remove the divinity counter as an activation to do something really powerful. The blue one drew you a bunch of cards. The white one destroyed all other creatures. I can't even remember what they all did, but
being able
to repeat them is pretty powerful.
I remember. So
yeah, go for it.
The blue one drew you a card for each permanent you control. The white one destroyed all creatures. I guess all creatures other than that one, but I think it might be all creatures. The red one destroyed all lands. The black one made each opponent discard their hand. And the green one lets you put all creatures from your hand in a pile.
Nice. So here's my thought with this. I was already excited about building our Ramos Dragon Engine Proliferate 5-Color EDH deck. Because proliferating that guy leads to, like, massive amounts of 5-colored mana. So now I'm thinking proliferate Divinity Kindred Boon, because proliferating Divinity counters on those guys is also a pretty strong way to go about abusing Divinity counters.
I'm pretty sure you can only have one Divinity counter on it, but I'm not sure.
Does it say that?
I'm looking that up.
Yeah, check that out, because that would ruin my dreams.
Doing some investigative journalism here. No, you can have any number of divinity counters. And the Myogens were the white one destroyed all other creatures. I nailed it. All lands, any number of creatures, discard hands, draw a card for each permanent. Nailed it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there you go. What's their creature type? Are they spirits?
They are all spirits.
Okay, cool. So, and then spirits are a very playable creature type, too. So if that's the type you have to call with Kindred Boon.
You can play Ramos Tribal Spirits.
Is Ramos a spirit? No.
No, he's a dragon, but the rest of your deck is just Tribal Spirits.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you just not create enough, man?
So there's also this hipster guy that keeps showing up on these cards. Curse of Bounty, Curse of Verbosity. Who the hell is this guy?
The artist.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Someone said this is a planeswalker yet to be named. He doesn't appear in any other card in this set, but this guy is getting cursed repeatedly in every color. Poor bastard.
Definitely the artist.
Okay, cool. Well, that's all. We've had plenty of time to look at these commander cards. We've had a long cast today, and I'm sure that you'll be able to spend plenty of time digging through these deck lists if you're interested. I will leave the link in the show notes, but I think we need to close out on that. Please remember to check out Mana Traders, and if you do, and if you sign up for an account, please remember to use the promo code CardKnockLife, one word, for 7% off your membership. Cardknock Life is proud to be a part of mtgcast.com. We can be reached at cardknocklifepodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website, and if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com.